everything that we do is to give back attention to the person.
Welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace, where we discuss real-time workplace issues with experts to get you the best solutions for your company. I'm your host, Carol Schultz, longtime executive coach and professional recruiter and best-selling author. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace. I'm Carol Schultz. Today, we are exploring the innovation of IoT and how it's transforming physical workplaces. Any founders managing an in-person workplace, this one is for you. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with expert Fabio Zanaboni, the founder and CEO of BubblyNet, a recognized technology leader with over two decades of expertise in IoT, digital transformation, and sustainable innovation. Fabio, thanks so much for joining me today. Before we get started, for anybody, in case there's anybody who does not know what IoT is, that stands for Internet of Things, why is this relevant?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here today. It's an honor. And regarding IoT and why it is important is because by embedding intelligence on all of the tools that you use, from working or resting or enjoying having fun, getting educated, or in healthcare, when you're embedding intelligence, you make those devices performing in a completely different way. You make those devices able to collect information that then can be used for a future improved performance of that device. And in what we do, we typically address buildings. And so we are addressing anything that you have within a building envelope. So your lighting, your HVAC, and everything that is within the building. So your air quality, your sound, your noise, your distractions, the light coming from the windows, the type of light, the type of artificial light you have inside, how the building performs. Is a printer working the way it's supposed to be? And having almost like an environment that adapts to your needs.
Do you know the history of how Internet of Things came about or how the name even came about?
No.
I don't either. I was hoping you would.
Okay. I can give my interpretation. There is a very interesting book called CAM Technology. And in the late 90s, out of the Hewlett-Packard Research Center, came this law. And the law was, on the 21st century, the rarest commodity is not going to be technology, it's going to be attention. And the reason of that law is because the calculation is pretty easy, where we move from mainframes, you remember those huge mainframes that we had in the 70s?
Anyone over 50 should know that.
Exactly. And then you get to desktops. And then from desktop, you get to smartphones. Yeah. And from smartphones, you get to wearables. And from wearables, we're getting to implants now in your head, in your limbs, and so on. So the idea behind that Internet of Things is that you can connect all those different aspects of your life and get a complete, like it's almost like a catalyst, almost like a multiplier of the usefulness of the tools that you use every day.
Yeah. And I want to come back and talk about that a little bit more, but I want you to, before we start doing that, tell us a little bit about your company, BubblyNet, and the genesis of the company.
Yes. Well, starting by the name, been doing building controls for many, many years. And about 15 years ago, we realized that going wireless will allow to get a further level of freedom, because now, particularly with Bluetooth, BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy, and Bluetooth Mesh, is now possible to have wearables. It's now possible to have devices that are battery powered, that have the computing power that a computer would have 5 or 10 years ago. So we decided to go wireless, and as we were dreaming about this future technology, we said, well, people are attracted to specific buildings because specific buildings are keener or more useful for different endeavors. So you have a building that is designed to be an office space where you have, for instance, a lot of daylight because the task within the building require daylight. And then you have buildings that are dedicated for coders that are, you know, pitch black because they want to have their screen at minimum intensity and so on. And then all of a sudden you have a building like the building where I am right now. It's an old fire station of the 1920s and has been adapted for different applications because we have engineers, we have coders, we have designers, we have architects working within the same space. And now different areas of the building require to have different aspects. So the name Bablinet is, you know, how we can create a bubble of your perfect environment around you. And as you move around the building, as you move around the city, and how we can keep that bubble ideal for you. And that is totally possible nowadays because with beacon and tags and different technologies, we can track where a person is without absolutely touching anything that is personal information and so on. And based on the local settings that the person has, let's say on the phone, you know, we can change the settings of that environment for him or her.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I want to come back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, about, you know, mainframes to, you know, desktop or client server, smartphones, et cetera, and eventually implants. And I'm sure there are, you know, that is being tested even as we speak and being able to be connected. You know, I personally worry about, you know, EMF, right? Electromagnetic frequency. And what I will tell you is I have a device in my office. Because this is where, you know, my router's in here, everything's in here, right? And this is where I spend the bulk of my day. And a former guest of the precursor to this pod, I interviewed, and he sent me one of his devices, one of his EMF devices. Well, when I plugged in the meter prior to the device being put in, plugged in, and got, you know, the EMF in the thousands, and now it's about 20. With that thing plugged in, that is something that I really think, you know, I don't believe most buildings have, you know, don't have devices that filter out the electromagnetic frequency. And what we're doing to our bodies, you know, when we rely on all this.
Yes, and you're totally correct. We had several clients discussing these topics with us because we go wireless, because we are putting electromagnetic messaging through the building, they are concerned about that. And the technology that we use is a Bluetooth mesh and is a technology that, just to give you an idea, because the package of information is so compressed and is so small, the energy that we use when you, let's say you press a switch to turn on the lights of the building, the entire cycle of turning all the lights on the building and all the messages going is less than the energy of a five light just doing a flight at night. So it's very, very low. So of course, like a Wi-Fi router typically is going to be on the thousands of times more energy emitted inside your building than what is Bluetooth mesh. So yes, like all technology, there is the good and there is the bad. And somehow we need to use the technology and adapt the technology and in a way where there is no byproducts like, you know, now problems with the body just because we're putting too many interferences.
I wonder, you know, if we look at 100% of the people, what percentage of people actually get that this is an issue, right? So, for example, when you're talking to prospects, you know, are they even aware of this being an issue that you need to educate them on?
You're correct. Education is a big part of what we do. If you go on our website, we have white papers, all the white papers about all these different topics, and we have graphs, and we have different parallels of different technology, and the amount of energy you are emitting inside the space. And then there is many, many aspects that you can look at. When we were talking earlier, we were talking about lighting. Well, lighting, the eye is not going to be able to perceive them any frequency above 1 kilohertz typically. And so there is a lot of things that can be wrong on lighting without you physically seeing anything. You're not going to see the light flickering. You are going to see just a white light. But that white light would have an amount of blue spectrum that is not good for your body and could have certain frequencies that are not good for your body. So yes, most of the market is going to go just to Home Depot or Best Buy and buy, you know, different appliances without really paying too much attention. We are on the B2B space where when we deploy these very large projects, typically there's an architect, there's an engineer that has been educated on these topics and make sure that all these different aspects get addressed.
Since you're mentioning that, I want to bring this up. Those of us who work, those who do work in offices, I work from home, but more and more people, of course, work from home nowadays. And even those who don't have to go home at some point, they can't live in their offices. So, you mentioned just going out to Home Depot or Lowe's or Best Buy or wherever to, to buy your bulbs and so on and so forth, your LED bulbs. I wonder, should people be looking at that lighting that we put into our homes?
Yes, definitely we should look at that. And I think that we start seeing more and more education, particularly on social media. The moment somebody gets into certain channels, you get a ton of information about all these different aspects. Right. And lighting definitely is a very important point. Just to give you an idea, we have a lab and we have employees that volunteers and they love to experiment different things as I do personally. And we have you could have on your ceiling two apparently identical lights, same color, same white and so on. And one would have a very strong peak on the 480 nanometers. So in a specific frequency, that is the frequency that you have on early mornings from the sun. And it's a signal for your body to be active. Because since the times of the caves, you will get out of your cave and either you are running after something or something was running after you. So you better get your metabolism up and all your different hormones up. And we did tests and we were measuring a few months ago cortisol levels, so your stress hormone. Yes. And just by adding or removing certain frequencies that are, it's almost impossible unless you are a very good expert at being able to catch the difference, we can trigger these things. So very important that, after 4 p.m., 5 p.m., you don't want to add that frequency to your home lighting. Because in that case, yes, you're going to be still active and it's going to be like 8 or 9 p.m. at night and you're still working and you're saying, oh, I'm going so hard, I'm amazing. And you're going to feel very good. You're going to have an awful night of sleep. And if you keep on doing that, after a few days, you're going to be totally exhausted because your body needs to have those highs during daytime and they need to be high enough so that during the night, you go low enough to get to a deep sleep mode at least two or three times, at least for 45 minutes to an hour, so your body can rebuild organs, tissues, and recover for the next day.
Right. So for those of us, you're selling B2B, of course. For those of us, like I said, who need to go out and buy, is there any way to even know what that frequency is of the lights you're buying? Are you just basically SOL?
Going to different retailers, I noticed in the last 5 years, on average, product improved quite a bit. So it's beautiful. Like the light nowadays that you have from any major retailer is night and day to what was 5-10 years ago.
Sure.
Like the days of the fluorescent technology and so on, with LEDs, way, way better. Mm. If you want to know more, you need to start, ChatGPTing and Googling and inform yourself. It takes some time. It takes some time. It's like, do you want to have an amazing Italian dinner? You need to learn how to do it.
Got it. So how can IoT affect the workplace and its employees? I know we had prior talked about lighting for one, but And you just talked about that again, but you know, in general, what are some of the other ways that IoT can affect your workplace and your employees?
Well, so lighting is one, definitely. The next big vector for me is air quality. And it's not only a New York problem. It's not like a large city problem. Sometimes you have it also, you know, in the Midwest and in small towns and so on. And I give you an example. Getting back to the working from home, little anecdote. One of my developers last spring comes. We have a few days a week that we come to the office. And one day he comes to the office and says, "I'm so exhausted, Fabio. I'm so exhausted. I don't know what's going on. I'm always feeling tired and so on." And I talk with him a little bit and, you know, he goes to the gym and he tries to be healthy and he eats well and so on. And then I ask him, "Well, you know, did you check the air quality in your house?" I say, "My air quality? I live on the outskirts of a small town. You know, what do you think?" He said, "Well, I would check."
Why do you even bother with that?
Exactly. And so I say, "Well, grab one of the sensors that we use for our projects and check it out." And a few days comes back and say, "Fabio, I couldn't believe it. You know, the CO2 level is over 1600 ppm. So without getting technical, his level of oxygen in the room, in the house, was very, very low. The reason why is we are in Florida. It's spring, it's hot. Yeah. Wife, he has a lot of allergies. So all the windows are closed.
That's right.
He has three teenage boys in the house. Can you imagine how much oxygen they burn?
Right, how much CO2 they're blowing out.
They're generating. And so now, you know, he does what, you know, our grandmothers used to tell us, you know, in the early morning, you know, when you're doing your bedroom, open the windows. That's very simple. So, of course, you can go very simple like that, or you can get more sophisticated, what we do for commercial buildings, yeah, where we have fresh air intakes, and we have different ways where when your CO2 level gets above a certain level, we get fresh air, and there is exchanges. So even in Florida, you're not going to have hot and humid air that is going to take your bill through the roof. But anyway, so there is a lot of technology today available to reduce that CO2 level. So back to your question about office and what we can do, there is several studies from Berkeley, Harvard, where every 500 ppm part per million of CO2, you are losing about 15% intellectual capacity, particularly if your job is a creative job, is an executive job, a strategic job. So it's fundamental. There is studies about how arithmetic scores go down proportionally to how much CO2 you have. So back to your question, if I was responsible for a team and trying to get them or entice my team to get back to the office, well, for sure, lighting is one. The other thing is, I'm going to take care of the air, because at the end of the day, you know, our body is carbon and oxygen. You know, if you don't put oxygen in your body, your brain is going to go down in performance. So that is the next one. Another vector that we address quite often is also distractions. So we have different technologies under the chapter of sound masking. So what we do is we imbue the space with specific sound frequencies so that the wording of the talks around you are not intelligible. And by doing that, your brain discards the signal because it cannot understand the meaning of the words, and you can focus back to your task. So you have solutions where you can have this sound masking working differently in different parts or in different times of the day. And you can decide to reduce it. And if, for instance, like in this building, there is areas where, like on the sales area, they love to listen to each other because it's a way where you can get information across different departments, you know, from customer service to sales and so on. So they like to have this kind of a more informal environment. But then, you know, all the coding area, our technical area, everybody wants to be really on their task. And so sound masking is just perfect. So you can add some masking or remove some masking. It can be automatic based on the time of the day. It can be automatic based on the amount of people that are talking in the environment. And anyway, so you can remove sound distractions. So sound distractions and lack of oxygen, lighting. And then there is a lot of other things that we do quite often, like motorized shades. So when it's raining, you know, your shades are up because anyway, there is no glare from the sun. But you are, I mean, again, I'm in Florida. Like if you are south-facing after a certain time of the day, that sun is going to hit your desk and it's going to glare. It's going to be just glare on the screen. You're not going to be able to perform. So you can have shades nowadays that are motorized and are at the proper level throughout the day because they recognize on an astronomical clock where the sun is on the horizon. So there is a lot of technology that you can use to make your office environment an ultra-performing space for your employees.
So, I mean, I think you've made a case for this, but let's actually make the case. You know, why companies should actually care about allocating funding for this?
Well, I will give you a very clear number. There is a law. It's called the 330-300. You spend about $3 a square foot on power bills. You spend $30 on your rent, and you spend about $300 a square foot on talent, so employees. And this is average nationwide. So if you're in a big city, easily you're spending $600 to $1,000 a square foot on talent. So by adding IoT, let's say that you're spending $2 a square foot. Mm-hmm. Okay. But let's say that with IoT, you are able to improve by very conservatively between 7 and 10% on the operations, on your operations, and on the performance of your employees. So 10% of $600 a square foot is $60. So what you have is you have a benefit of $60 a square foot when you're spending $2 to $3 a square foot. So your return on investment is really a matter of months. So it's a technology that is available. And nowadays, it's very affordable. And so if we don't want to look at it like, oh, we want to do it for the well-being of our employees and we take care of our employees, like if you just do the math strictly in terms of input-output, it makes absolutely sense to go IoT on the commercial building.
Yeah, that's really great. You know, there are so many, I've worked with founders and CEOs for over 30 years, and, you know, everyone says they care about their people. But, you know, it is often just blowing sunshine up your skirt, really. Often with people it is. I mean, it's not that way across the board, of course. There are some wonderful, wonderful CEOs out there. But there are many that are like that. And, you know, and for those who are, even for those who aren't, to be able to make that kind of a case for ROI, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer. So what are the first steps for those listening who want to implement IoT into their office spaces?
Well, I would say the first step is find out where you stand. So
basically a baseline, you mean?
Exactly. You want to have a baseline in terms of energy consumption. You want to have a baseline in terms of air quality. You want to have a baseline in terms of lighting quality, as well as noise distractions. And, you can have a professional coming and check your space. And you can have HR, having fun and buying a few $100 of devices on Amazon and start, reading and learning and so on. And that is the first level. If you want to go full in, there is many architects nowadays that are well-versed on this technology. And of course, if I can help, I'm always there. Very easy to get a hold of me. And there is plenty of information. We have hundreds of pages of information about these topics on our website.
Is there anything, Fabio, that I have missed that, asking that you think is important for people to know, leaders to know about IoT?
I would say that IoT and AI are here to stay. As a matter of fact, they are merging. This week, we are releasing a new product where we are using AI not only to use in a sense of like a feedback, like I was mentioning earlier, like, oh, I have CO2 levels at a certain level. Now I need to have fresh air intake. So instead of having a reactive kind of operation building, with AI, you can have a proactive operation. You can have predictive situations. So AI is here to stay. IoT is here to stay. And what I'm noticing is, like, was mentioned in New York City earlier, because I'm often there. Like, in New York City, it's night and, like, the buildings that are using IoT are night and day. It's almost like, it's not class A, it's the next level. And they command higher rental rates. They attract more talent. And if you look at the tech companies, if you look at some of it in New York, like the buildings occupied by tech companies, by financials, the higher is the value of your talent, the more you need to go IoT. Because if not, you're just leaving so much money and resources on the table.
Right, of course. And, you know, I've talked at nauseam about, you know, all the perks companies are giving people. You know, and, you know, Google really started it years ago, right? You know, we'll give you everything you need so you never have to go home, right? And then other companies started following suit. And a lot of that's been scaled back. And I'm actually glad it has, because there are things that are more important than, you know, giving your people laundry service or dry cleaning services or some of these other things, right? And to your point, if you're going to make people be in the office, you need to have it be a space where they can work in comfortably, happily, productively, you know, et cetera. And I think that's, you know, to your point, super, super important.
Yes. And the thing that is very interesting, all the topics that we discussed are invisible. When I was talking earlier about calm technology and attention is the rarest resource in the 21st century. So everything that we do is to give back attention to the person. So the ideal lighting is a lighting that never distracts you. The ideal quality is the air quality that allows you to do the best and to feel the best and to perform at your best. And similarly, from the right sound masking effect, you barely notice that there is anything happening. You just feel, oh, it's so quiet, it's so relaxing, it's so calm. So yes, a nap pod, you know, it's very visible, but I would say that what we can do with IoT, it's definitely invisible, but it has much, much more value, to your point, than, you know, what could have been those shiny objects, you know, perks that have been looked for in the last, you know, in the previous 10, 15 years.
Thanks for listening to Evolving Your Workplace. Is there a topic you want to discuss? Let us know what you think in a review. And don't forget to click follow to stay up to date on upcoming episodes. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.